The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline 1-800-913-4653.
The experiment was a success. Begin Life Force Reboot Program now.
Stand clear. Life signs stable.
It's alive. Set it loose.
This is the Jeff Fisher Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Welcome to the broadcast. 888-900-3393 is the phone number to the Blaze Radio Network and the Jeff Fisher Show. Today, the number is 100. It's just like Sesame Street. 100. Now, of course, you know, we have 100 days of Trump. We'll get to that. Because it's been an exciting 100 days of Trump. First, though, with all the things that we have, luxuries, some of them we don't even consider luxuries anymore, that make our life better each day, I was looking back at what they had and didn't have 100 years ago. And some of them are fascinating. For instance, say, you know, in 1915, cocaine had only been illegal for a year. Marijuana was perfectly legal and available for purchase. Doctors regularly prescribed heroin to patients. You most definitely don't get those days back. In 1950, the word teenager was not in use yet. The constitutional amendment granting American women the right to vote had not yet passed. You most definitely don't get those days back. In 1910, there were just over 14,000 people incarcerated in the U.S. for first or second degree murder. The population of Las Vegas, 22. In 1900. I mean, then it started to blast. In 1910, 800. And by 1920, it had over 2,300 residents in Las Vegas. So, I mean, it was booming. The average life expectancy for an American man in 1900, 48.3. Wow. Women, of course, always have outlived men. 51-1. I think you know why. In 1913, the first dedicated gas station in the U.S. opened in Pittsburgh. That was fast. Before that, selling gas was a side business. In 1940, now that's not 100 years ago, my friends. Okay? It's only 75. When the census collected information on the plumbing in American homes, almost half lacked the trifecta. 75 years ago, not even 100. Almost half of American homes did not have hot, cold water, a tub or a shower, and a flush toilet. Right? So half of the houses, no hot water, no no tub, no flushing toilet. Jeez. I mean, I can... I mean, obviously everybody's gone camping and used outhouses. But I think I can... I mean, I remember pictures of my grandparents, right? My grandparents, great-grandparents, and their home with the outhouse outside. And I still have the nighttime potty that my great-grandparents used. So you'd have you'd set the bowl inside the box, a wooden box, and so it was your nighttime urination bowl. So you'd use that at night so you'd have to go outside, and then you'd get up and take the bowl outside. And hopefully, you'd toss it away from the house. In 1901, Connecticut passed a law that included the country's first speed limit, 15 miles an hour, 12 within the city, okay? City limits is 12. Slow it down. In 1915, the Eiffel Tower was the tallest structure in the world. And it held that until 1930, right? In 1938, the U.S. set its first minimum wage. 1938, less than 100 years ago, first minimum wage, 25 cents an hour. In 1910, the average annual per capita income in the U.S., $332. Now, in today's dollars, that's about, $7,800. Still, though. Wow. In 1915, many practicing doctors in the U.S. had been educated haphazardly. Medical schools had become mostly diploma mills, and that slowly began to change when the John Hopkins University School of Medicine decided, we should probably make these people that want to work on other people be educated. That'd be nice. In 1910, agriculture was the most common industry Americans worked in. 1910, most common industry, agriculture. By 1920, manufacturing had passed agriculture. I mean, that happened fast. In 1915, the three leading causes of death in the U.S. were heart disease, pneumonia, tuberculosis. 1915, canned beer, modern supermarkets, and Barbie dolls. I mean, Barbie dolls, of course, they had not been invented. Like, nobody cares about Barbie dolls or supermarkets we care about, but you could always get food. But canned beer? In 1915, the U.S. did not have an official national anthem. Ugh. In 1910, 7.7% of Americans said that they couldn't read or write. Wow. In 1870, 20% said they couldn't read or write. So 40 years later, only 7.7. We're picking up the pace a little bit. In 1900, only about half of American children between 5 and 19 years old were enrolled in school. Ending formal education for 8th grade was typical. And they had work to do at the farm, right? I mean, half more Americans were, it was an agricultural community. Get out there and hoe that field. I want to learn how to read and write and multiply and add and subtract. Okay, go count the rows of corn you're going to plant. Today's number, 100. Now think where we're going to be in another 100 years. I mean, it's going to be, you won't be able to imagine it. I mean, the future is, what you're imagining now, you're seeing happening now, 100 years from now is going to seem like doctors were prescribing heroin. 100 years ago. That's what it's going to seem like 100 years from now. Now, when you saw that the doctors, you know, cocaine had just become illegal in 1915, 1910, 1915, and they were still prescribing heroin. And you know what you can't find, by the way, because my wife has been looking for one, so if you have one, you can message me on Twitter. You can't find the bare aspirin bottles of heroin. They're out there somewhere. You can get the bare aspirins. You can get the bare. There's the other bare that they had here in America, but nobody has the original, or I say nobody. We can't find one of the original bare heroin bottles. There's remakes, but not an original. If you have an original, I'm willing to give you like $5. Let me know. But since 1990, think of this. Now, this is a change, a miraculous change in the last few years that's gone on here in the United States that's fascinating and scary at the same time. Since 1990, the number of Americans who have died every year from drug overdoses has increased 500%. More Americans in 2015 died from drug overdoses than from car accidents and gun homicides combined. Wow. In 2015, more Americans died from drug overdoses than from car accidents. It's the worst drug overdose epidemic in American history. Okay. Spurred, you know, because of the availability of prescription opioids and the influx of potent synthetics like fentanyl and carfentanil. Now, when you look at the charts of that, it is amazing. It is amazing how much the drug overdoses has gone up throughout the years. We just did that chart not too long ago, and you know that it went up because you kept hearing about it, so you go up, but you don't go up that far. I mean, it just shoots up the last couple years. I mean, 500% since 1990. Amazing. I mean, young Americans, and there was a big story about the age divide of what's causing the overdoses and what age group you're in. So younger Americans are overdosing on heroin, while the old folks are just taking painkillers. In 2015, heroin, not only do we have more Americans dying from drug overdoses than from car accidents and gun homicides combined in 2015, we also have for the first time in 2015, heroin killing more people than prescription painkillers. Now, obviously, you know, there are still a huge amount of people dying from prescription opioids, but heroin in 2015 killed more people than prescription painkillers. Now, there are some states, and we've talked about them here, you know, the Northeast is on fire with this problem, but states, and so, you know, so is, you know, West Virginia, Ohio. Ohio is probably, I mean, they're in a full-blown crisis. Ohio has double the heroin overdose rate of any of the surrounding states. I mean, that is scary for the state of Ohio. And one of the problems that one of the experts is talking about is that a doctor can prescribe you one of the painkillers like hydrocodone, but it can't prescribe you the treatment drugs like the naloxone. And, you know, there's some states that are easing up a little bit on the naloxone prescriptions, but it's also the insurance companies, right? The insurance companies are like, well, you know, that particular drug is really expensive, so no. But if you'd like to, you know, give them some go ahead and give them some hydrocodone. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Heck, they can take, the prescription. As long as the prescription is good, you're fine. But, you know, if you need it, use it. I know you can quote me on that. If you need it, use it. I am a bit, look, I've had a bunch of surgeries. I understand. I know about painkillers, and I know what they do and what they won't do and how to use them. But if you need them, use them. And, of course, if you're using them on a regular basis for whatever amount of whatever thing is wrong with you, you're going to be addicted. And that's a strange word, because it brings up meaning of being addicted. Oh my gosh, he's addicted. Well, yeah, but a lot of the people that are addicted aren't breaking into homes, aren't overdosing, because they're using it so that, I don't know, they can be a productive member of society. But it doesn't matter in today's world, because you still get treated like a criminal. You're on painkillers. You're a criminal. Today's number, 100. 100. We'll talk a little bit about our President Donald Trump's first 100 days. We have an interview with Charlie Warzel from BuzzFeed, who covered the Alex Jones trial down in Austin, Texas, the past 9 or 10 days. And then we have news, something that is just a new trend around the world and on Instagram that is... Some people are going to be horrified. I most definitely am not.
This is The Jeff Fisher Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653. The Jeff Fisher Show.
Welcome to the broadcast. 888-900-3393 is the phone number. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffyMRA. Instagram at JeffyMRA. Facebook is Jeff Fisher Radio. So my Saturday producer, Chris, wasn't here last week because he was in an automobile accident. Now, those of you that have followed, you know, my driving career know that there's been a number of automobile accidents that I've been involved in. So I'm fascinated to hear how other people get into car accidents. And, you know, because usually, I mean, there's only been a few accidents, you know, that have been kind of my fault, marginally my fault. Mostly it's the other people. So, Chris.
Yes.
First of all, you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
I mean, I see you came in with the big wrap around your foot and your leg, and you're hobbling around here like you were actually injured.
Well, you know, I got to do that for the insurance
scam. Yeah. Thank you. So what happened?
I was
you couldn't work.
Well, I was waiting to turn into the parking garage, and some guy decided he just wasn't going to stop and rear-ended me.
Oh, did you see it coming?
No. All I heard was the breaking glass, and then what just happened?
Wow.
Yeah.
So were there any automobiles in front of you waiting to turn in?
No. Luckily, wow. That was clear as well.
You're very lucky.
Yeah.
So for your insurance scam, what happened?
So my foot got a nice gash in it from the seat, and they had to patch that up. So
you had your foot just the one leg back up against the seat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you hit, the seat goes forward, you don't.
Yes.
Ow.
Yeah.
That kind of hurts.
A little bit.
And that's the only thing? I mean, you didn't hurt your back, you didn't hurt your head?
No.
Airbag deploy?
No, the airbags did not go off. However, it did knock the covers off the airbag, so that was interesting.
Knocked the covers off the airbags, but they didn't deploy.
Yeah.
You might have a lawsuit there.
I know.
Right?
Found my the sunglasses I was wearing in the back seat. That was fun. They flew off my head.
Okay. I mean, were they your favorite pair? I mean, did your mom give them to you or something? You had to have that pair?
Well, they're prescription.
I mean, you can purchase sunglasses pretty much anywhere in America.
Well, yeah. I mean, usually they don't fly off your head, though. It's been my experience. So.
So is the car totaled?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, it wasn't worth much anyway, but yeah, it's bent.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, it's gone.
So are you like Ubering now, or did you actually get to purchase a new automobile?
Well, they got around to giving me a rental car on Monday. So I was without a vehicle last weekend.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And but now I've got wheels, and I'm hobbling around.
So they're giving you a rental car.
Yes.
And because they haven't written you a check for the other car yet, or what?
Not yet, no.
And did the person who hit you, I mean, is this an insurance person?
He had insurance. He didn't speak English, but he had insurance.
Nice.
This is the Jeff Fisher Show, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Jeff Fisher Show.
What? 888-900-3393 is the phone number. Welcome to the broadcast. That could turn into the word of the day, actually. What? Instead of 100, but we'll stick with 100 for now. So today, congratulations. Congratulations to President Donald J. Trump for surviving the first 100 days. Today is the tremendous anniversary. The wonderful anniversary. He said earlier this week in an interview that he didn't think being president would be so darn hard. You know, look, he was busy before with his, you know, with his previous life, but now that he's president, he just, oh man, it's a tough job. He didn't plan on it being so hard. But during a little one-on-one interview on Fox News, he reminded us of this.
I think we're doing tremendously well. I don't think anybody has ever done this much in 100 days.
So President Trump started off as aggressive as any president. U.S. stock markets, record high. A million Americans are benefiting from their retirement savings account. Right? He had 66 executive orders, memoranda, proclamations. He's going to sign another one today that is the same as these. They all just issue for more work. We're going to do more studies. So all of them pretty much are costing us money. The executive order, 66 of them, notifying Congress of a strike on Syria after it was reported that the country used gas on its citizens. And once he saw the video of the little babies, he had to do something. I mean, you could see it in his face. Dismantling Obama's climate change initiatives. Let's hope that actually holds true and they continue to do that. enforcing regulatory reform, protecting law enforcement, mandating for every new regulation to eliminate two. Yeah, how's that coming? I'd like to just come back and take a look at that. Reducing regulations on manufacturers, placing a hiring freeze on, you know, okay, these are all great. But what do we really want? You and me. What do we really want? Right? We want health care. We want to repeal. Then we can get to replacing, but let's get Obamacare off the books. I heard an interview this week on a local radio station with a congressman, and for the life of me, I cannot remember his stupid name. Congressman. Anyway, it's not important. He's just a silly little congressman, United States representative. He said, well, look, I've been saying it all along to repeal or dilute. I about swerved into the wall. That's the first time I've ever heard anyone say dilute Obamacare. Shut up. No one ever said that before, ever. You all got elected because you told us you were going to get rid of it. And you got up there and decided, you know, that's a lot of work. And we really haven't been planning. It's only been 8 years since, 7 or 8 years. We really didn't have time to work on anything. It's pretty much agonizing. Right? I mean, we want that gone. His big claim to fame, the wall. I'm going to build a wall. He even said it again yesterday at the NRA. He likes saying it. Will it ever get done? Doubtful. Do we really need it? Well, you know, we probably should have it, yeah. It certainly hasn't hurt. And the rhetoric that has slowed down illegal immigration will only work for some, a little while longer, and then they're going to decide, hey, you know what? Nobody's doing anything. We could probably just continue to go. And then they'll come back. So let's get the thing done. I know Ted Cruz issued he wants to use El Chapo's money to start building the wall, which I'm okay with. What's El Chapo doing with it? Nothing. Right? Nothing. We've got a few countries in the first 100 days that President Trump has, created a little issue with. Just a few. I mean, he's a great negotiator, and he's a great person. Everybody likes him. So, you find it hard to believe that we've already got a little beef with Canada. Of course, we still have the beef with Mexico with the wall. I mean, of course. I mean, that's going to go on forever. You know that. Of course, we've got the beef going on in North Korea with little Kimmy. Now, Kimmy fired another rocket yesterday just trying to... Look. China needs to get little Kimmy under control. Gene needs to go over there. Maybe, order a cake from Mar-a-Lago, big piece of chocolate cake, and bring it over to little Kimmy. Sit down with them, have a big, beautiful, thick piece of chocolate cake, and say, look, little Kimmy, here's the deal. Have a little bite of your chocolate cake. There you go. If you want to continue to eat really good chocolate cake like that, you'll stop firing your little missiles. Otherwise, we're going to kill you. And then he can go about his business, keeping his people in the dark, literally. Because it seems as though our people, especially President Trump, I mean, a time for they want to use military might, and it's going to be ugly when that happens. Because little Kimmy won't care. Little Kimmy will not care, and so there's going to be a lot of people in Seoul that are going to pay the price, right? Because Seoul itself, Seoul City Limits, I think has, 10 million. And then the Metroplex of Seoul has about 20 million. It's a lot of people, man. Australia, A little beef with Australia, but he's, you don't worry about it. He's friendly. He knows he's a good negotiator. He can, he's the best. In fact, I don't, he's told us himself how good it's been.
I think we're doing tremendously well. I don't think anybody has ever done this much in 100 days.
And of course, we got the little beef with Iran. You know, that's going on. Don't worry about it, though. They've taken an aggressive position in the Gulf state. We got Germany. A little issue with Germany going on. Don't worry about it. Don't forget about the him being such a douche to Angela Merkel while she was here. Didn't even shake her hand. It was so bad. And, of course, he's friends with Putin. He's such a great guy, but, you know, really they're not. And he's not. And we've got a little beef with Russia going on now, too. And so that's it right now. I mean, and really, we still kind of have the beef with China, except that, you know, they went down to Mar-a-Lago and kissed and made up a little bit with over chocolate cake, and so everything's okay, you know. And the head guy from, you know, China, President Xi, said something nice about him, so Donald likes him now.
I think we're doing tremendously well. I don't think anybody has ever done this much in 100 days.
Congratulations. First 100 days. First 100 days to our president, Donald J. Trump. And look, if you don't know, and he's been busy, right? I mean, he actually has been busy. Has he been busy to the point where he's accomplishing something? That is another question, right? But he's been busy. There's been reports that they got to keep him busy because he, you know, he gets bored. He goes down to Florida. When he goes to Mar-a-Lago, then he's on his own, right? He's out there golfing. He's able to tweet. He talks to other, talks to friends of his, and then he gets an idea, gets a hair up his butt, and then it's all over. So they got to keep him, you know, keep him focused, keep him busy in Washington, D.C. He busted in all the senators for their little North Korea chat. But all of them came out of there going, huh? Because there was nothing new. It was kind of a whirlwind cluster. Originally we heard that it was the turtle that called them all together, Mitch McConnell. And then to give him a little update, and then Donald was like, hey, you know what? Mitch, bring him over here to the White House. Don't worry about that building over there that you've got for your people. Bring him over to the White House. Look, I got nothing going on. We'll set him up in the back, and we'll have a meeting. We'll bring everybody. You know what? I'll get the generals over here. I'll get Pence. I'll pull Pence back from North Korea a day early. Everybody will think it's for a war reason. And then, you know, we'll have a little meeting here. So just set that up. I can call my buddy Frank's got some buses he's going to rent to us. They'll ship us over. Don't worry about it. So bad. And one of the things he said, I heard, and I didn't see this, so I've got to find it, where he said that he missed driving. You ever see Donald Trump drive? Now, seriously. Now, you've seen pictures of him with cars. But every time you see Donald Trump, he's getting out of some kind of limousine. Right? Now maybe he you know likes to take the you know take the speedster out on the weekends, because there's nothing like you know taking the speedster out in Manhattan on the weekends. But I get it. But I can kind of understand that actually. If he actually is a driver, which I barely believe, I can kind of understand that, because while I really love to be driven around. And it's, you know, it's nice not to have to drive. It's also pretty nice to drive. That's a pretty freeing experience, right? I mean, that time is yours. You're in an automobile. It's your automobile, which you've either purchased, rented, whatever, stolen, whatever, however you got the car. But you're in there on your own, going where you want to go. You listen to what you want to listen to. You're thinking about what you want to. I mean, that's you. That's your time, your space. And that's the American dream, right? The American roads. We had the lady on the Glenn Beck radio program yesterday telling us that she's looking at the automobile industry as a beacon of how the economy and what's going to happen in the future to the country. And her thoughts were that it's going to crash soon. And when it does, there's going to be big trouble. Well, the reason that it's been propped up for so long is that that's the American dream, right? I mean, freedom, cars, we go where we want. We drive where we want, we do. That's the American deal, automobiles. We're based on that. So if that goes away, oof, you might not be hearing our President Donald J. Trump saying this.
I think we're doing tremendously well. I don't think anybody has ever done this much in 100 days.
I mean, how can you disagree with that?
I think we're doing tremendously well. I don't think anybody has ever done this much in 100 days.
Seriously.
Here we go.
This is the Jeff Fisher Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
The Jeff Fisher Show.
I love driving cars. You know, to me, a great event is getting into a car and driving someplace. I can't do that anymore, and I haven't been able to do that really since the primaries.
Oh, see? It's so sad. So sad. I don't necessarily believe it, but, you know, whatever. I guess I have to because he said it, so it's the truth. Right? Because Donald and I don't hang out. I know it's a surprise. But I seriously do not remember. There's been some pictures. Remember there was a couple of pictures of him with his daughter on his lap? And everybody was figuring that, you know, they were all wound up about his daughter being on his lap. But they were sitting in the car or on the car or side of the car or whatever. So there's been pictures of him around automobiles. But I never seen him drive a car. He still gets to drive the golf carts, right? So shut up. Just get a souped up golf cart and security will let you drive that thing around, no problem. All right, so we have Charlie Warzel coming up from BuzzFeed, who covered the Alex Jones trial all last week, or last 9 or 10 days. And he had some fascinating tweets and some fascinating stories about the entire trial. So it'll be interesting to talk to Charlie. One of my, I think this could be my new favorite trend on Instagram. People are now taking pictures of landscapes. You know, Instagram, everybody wants to take a picture of where they are, and they show their feet, and there's the beach, or looking at this, look at this beautiful sight, and there's their feet. Well, now the trend is they show the landscape, but it also as your naked butt in the picture. I think that's my new favorite trend. Whatever you're looking at, you can have somebody snap your shot with your pants pulled down and your butt showing. And there's some examples I'll tweet out here in this story about the new trend on Instagram. And I think we might have to do some new Instagram trending. Maybe we'll do that on Facebook Live this afternoon. Practice the new trend.
This is the Jeff Fisher Show, only on the Blaze Radio Network.